Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I have one of my favorite humans on today to tell you about an amazing product that we both love.
Why, thank you, honey. This is Milkman Mark Hyman here telling you about the Almond Cow, which I saw on those Instagram posts, and I thought, we've got to have one of these and see whether it is actually as good as it looks. And it is. It's actually even better because there are things that you can make out of it. Almond milk, oat milk,
cashew milk,
coconut milk, anything you want, you can make in this. And what's great is there are fewer preservatives, less sugar, and then what you get left over at the end is this pulp that you can make make cookies or muffins, so nothing goes to waste.
And it's there anytime, so if you run out of milk, you don't have to run to the store. It is so amazing. We love it, love it, love it. So if you want to get your own, check out the link and use code Lara for extra savings.
Approved by the Milkman.
Good movement, and welcome to Redefining Yoga, a lit yoga podcast, which is designed to investigate all aspects of the modern evolution of yoga from my background as a physical therapist and lover of movement. My mission is to help everyone find freedom through smarter and safer movement patterns, so together we can be uplifted, benefiting all beings. Welcome to Friday with Friends. Today I am so happy to have you meet a wonderful woman named Heather Avani. This was the first time I talked with Heather, and I felt like we could have talked for hours. She just has this calm, grounded, but resonant energy. And it was just fascinating to discuss her past, her pathway to where she is now. She's a yoga teacher as well, but what we really dive into is her work in the Akashic readings. What does that even mean? Well, you'll find out. You'll find out because I ask her all the questions, assuming nothing. And she does such a great job kind of decoding what the Akashic readings and training are and how you can get to know yourself better through these trainings or readings. But she also has offerings online. She's got some free resources. You'll learn all of it. So just keep listening to this magical being, Heather. Welcome, Heather. So happy to have you on the podcast today.
Honored to be here, Lara. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm always interested in hearing about people's journey into getting to where they are. And you have quite a toolkit of offerings and of experiences. But can you just bring us back to the place where it all started? What set you off on this path, or was it multiple experiential moments?
Yeah, I think it was more of like stepping stones along the way. You know, one thing leads to another, leads to another. So I started off meditating in university just to help support the stress that I was experiencing being away from home. And prior to that, I probably experienced prayer a little bit growing up in the Catholic Church. But yoga, when I started to unfold the meditation into the asana practice and into the texts of philosophy, it really felt like a homecoming for me. So yoga kind of gripped me and pulled me in instantaneously, and it led right into a teacher training early on. So in my early 20s was when I started teaching yoga, and then offered a lot of teachings and trainings to other yoga teachers over the years, and then gradually unfolded into the Akashic records, just wanting to be deeper with consciousness and experience more of a communication with consciousness than just a quiet peace and calm was kind of my desire. And so the Akashic records just organically unfolded from there. So yeah, I've been working with those for about 3 years now.
Yeah, I think it's really natural for anyone, you know, I'm both a physical therapist and a yoga teacher, and just kind of combine that into being a movement healer of sorts. But I think whatever path people are on, they usually have a calling to deepen the understanding or to find specific areas to focus on more. So in your practice now, what does it look like for you personally? Do you pull all of this into your personal practice, and then we'll get into your teaching?
Yeah, I let it be quite rhythmic. I let it be quite fluid, to be honest. So when there's times in my life that I'm feeling really fatigued and tired, I probably have a stronger yoga nidra practice, which is lying down and listening to an audio recording, which takes you into a deep relaxation just to reset my nervous system. And then when there's times when I'm more intense and I have more physical energy, then my asana practice is more alive. But on a consistent daily or weekly basis, there's probably each day there's a meditation time that I have, and I let it call me in rather than always setting aside a specific time to meditate. And then my asana practice probably layers on top of that, maybe 3 to 4 times a week as well.
And how do you think all of that kind of inner knowing and stronger intuition has impacted not only your teaching, but your relationships in your life?
Yeah. So where I live right now, it's a very small town. So when I chose to move here as a yoga teacher, there was no teachers in my area that were a good alignment for me to be a student from. So I really had to dive into my own practice and let my practice be its own teacher on me, which at the time was very frustrating because I really wanted to be external and I wanted to be taught by someone else. I wanted to be led, but it just, the circumstances didn't allow it. And this was before online yoga was a really big thing. So there wasn't a whole lot to pull from the internet either. So I had no choice but to really self-develop my own teaching style and my own practice and really let it be my teacher for many, many years. And as a result of that, now looking back, I can see how it created such a level of empowerment within me, but it also shone a light as to when there were specific moments where it was like, this is not something I can do on my own. So I was kind of nudged to go external and make the appropriate arrangements to leave town and do some trainings outside of town to just really have that spanda taking place, that contraction and that expansion. So the ability to go inwards and then the ability to also recognize that we're all connected and everyone's your teacher. So someone external was a better fit for me at certain times.
And so journeying into where you are now with the Akashic training or tools, the readings, can you share, like, how did you, I don't think everyone's just going to kind of find themselves drawn to that or even know about it. Can you share a little bit about not only how you found out about it, but what about the training was calling you?
Yeah. So that was an interesting way that happened into my life. It didn't really present itself in a very loud manner. It was Akasha, even after 25 years of working with yoga, it wasn't a term or an understanding that I had a lot of depth with. But there were different times when I would work with different facilitators where the topic of Akashic records would come up and I knew a little bit about it to ask, you know, I'm thinking of doing an Akashic session. Do you have any recommendations? And as the recommendations would come in, they just wouldn't feel like a good fit for me. So I kind of leave it and forget about it. And then a couple of years would go by and it would sort of whisper again. So it was, I would say that went on for about 8 years. It wasn't big on my radar at all, Lara. It wasn't something that I was really leaning in towards at all. And then what ended up happening was when COVID hit, I was doing a little bit more meditation than usual because, as we know, all the yoga studios were shut down. So it provided a little bit more internal time for myself. And in meditation, several times in 1 week, a particular family friend's name who became my teacher, Kellyanne Bass, her name would pop into my head in meditation. And after the third time, I just thought, okay, this is more than just a random thought that's coming in. So I reached out to her and sent an email and just said, I don't know why I'm reaching out, but I trust that you will know where to lead me from here. And hello, if this is just a hello, but if there's something more, please let me know. And so she wrote back and shared with me that she was an Akashic Record teacher and asked if I would like to do a session with her. And from that session, that's where it quickly unfolded into me doing a level one, level two, and level three with her, and then moving on to actually offering and providing this training for other way showers and light workers that that want to be working with the Akashic Records more fully.
Okay, so talk us through what happens in this first session. I'm just totally fascinated.
Yeah, it's neat. Think of it similar to like if you go to a flow yoga class with one teacher, it'll be different than a flow yoga class with another teacher. So different Akashic teachers sort of hone into different areas of expertise, even though they're teaching the Akashic Records. So for example, one Akashic Record teacher might specialize in past life regression. So they're able to go into your Akashic Records and give you lots of information on past lives that will help you navigate the present life that you're in right now. So it helps to unblock different areas that might feel stuck and give insight as to why you're so good at certain things that you're good at. And for myself, when I work with the Akashic Records, a highlight that I have is the ability to support people in understanding what their soul's purpose is in this lifetime, and also giving them tools as to how they can befriend it and work with it more fully.
Wow. So yeah. Can you, for people out there that really have no idea what these are, what are the Akashic Records readings? Who found them or learned about them? And what was their purpose?
Right. So Akasha means space. It means sort of the void is another way that you can describe it. It also means spirit. So it's a very ancient Sanskrit term, Akasha. The modern way that we might refer to it is when we talk about the quantum field. Okay. So how we can work with the quantum field and we can pull in certain frequencies of energy to support us with a growing edge that we might have. So with Akashic Records, every soul has its own signature GPS signal. It has its own frequency. And when you tap into the frequency, it's contained in a dimension that has no time or space. So all of our thoughts, all of our deeds, all of our actions over many different timelines is contained within your own personal etheric book, if you will. And so the Akashic Records is it is the field of space, but then within that, you can radio signal in specifically to one person's soul and get information from their soul space. And I know that this sounds very far-reaching and pretty intense when I'm sharing it. So let me share.
Yeah, I was
going to
say. So how does one even know where they are, or you know how to locate that?
Yeah, how to locate it. So there's a few things. So number one is each of us comes into this lifetime with different clairabilities, and we're either consciously working with them or unconsciously working with them. So our clairabilities, the one that we're most familiar with is clairvoyant. And oftentimes what happens in this spiritual community is that if we aren't clairvoyant, we write ourselves off from being able to connect with consciousness. Like we think of it as like the hierarchy of clairabilities, when in fact, it's just one. So I have very little clairvoyance, but I read the Akashic Records, no problem. So another clairability is clairsentient. This is how you feel and pick up different signals in your body. So this can be when you get tingling in the palm of your hands, you get hot and cold shivers. Some people get sort of like a tingling up and down their spine when they're radaring into something that's important. So that's clairsentient. And then we have claircognizance, which is our inner knowing. And for most of us, this is interesting because we confuse it with thought. So a claircognizance would be a download that you get faster than thought. So for example, if someone was to present a choice point to you and say, you know, would you like to do A? Would you like to do B? And right away, you instantly know, I want to do A. But then thought will come in right behind that and start to use its logic and reason to make your decision, right? But the claircognizance comes in very quickly. It still sounds like your thought voice. That's the other thing, is a lot of people think that claircognizance is a voice outside of your own thought voice. It's the same voice. So it can get confusing, because to a new practitioner, it's the ability to delineate between what is thought and what is an inner knowing that's coming in.
Interesting. And then we've also labeled that sometimes like gut instinct, like my gut was to go like this, but my rational, logical brain, would that be a similar type of discernment of
absolutely. Yeah. So if you're actually literally feeling it in your gut, that's clairsentient. That is you feeling it viscerally, internally, and knowing that this is the decision you need to make. But others, they'll call it a gut feeling, but it comes in as just like a knowing, like, I know I need to go here. And you know that knowing without being taught, which means you might not even be able to rationally back it up, because it's coming from a place that defines logic and rationalization. And so for most of us, this is why we deny it, or we dismiss it, or we don't listen to it, because we are so conditioned to making our decisions based on rational mind and logic and reason, right? And then the others are our taste and smell and hearing. So all of our senses are ways that the energetic realm communicates through us, because it's the fastest way to get information through us, because it has the least physical density to it, right? Mm. So if someone is learning how to read the Akashic records, what we're doing in a first session together is I'm going into their records and using their body, I almost do what I call an energetic body scan, where I would just start with the crown of your head, and I do this over Zoom or in person, whichever feels better to people. But as I'm going through the crown of the head and into the eyes and into the face, I'm going to start to get information as to what clairabilities are most strong within you. And even the person across from me oftentimes will dismiss it until we start to tunnel in, and I'll say, well, do you have really vivid dreams? Yes. Okay. Well, do you oftentimes see hues or colors sometimes when you're in different situations? Well, yes. And these are things that people aren't aware that they're doing until it's pointed out to them, or they're aware that they're doing it, but they assume everyone else receives information that way too, because that's how they receive information. And so it's just sharing with them that, no, this is actually quite signature to you, and this is how your guides and your teachers want to be working with you.
So when you're doing that kind of scan, what is it that you're receiving to know that information?
It's almost as though the information, so my strongest clairability is claircognizance. It's an inner knowing. So when I open up someone's records, first I start, this is just how I read the records.
And wait, can I just, when you say you open up someone's records, what does that mean? I mean, they aren't like literally like papers.
Right. So let me take you through like a session, how a session would look if I did that with someone. Right. Okay. So I start with just a little introduction to each other. I do a little grounding and centering before we start. So few reasons for that. One, usually someone's a little bit nervous when they come in. People think that that when I open the records, I get access to all their dark, deep secrets that nobody else knows about. So there's a nervousness sometimes, and that's not true, just so you know. And before I start, I cannot open anyone's records that they personally have not given me permission to do so. So at the end of this podcast interview, I can't then go and open up your records, Lair, and get all this information and dirt on you if I wanted to, right? It doesn't work like that. It's actually very heavily protected with strong energies. So we start with a little grounding and centering. It softens the client. It softens me. And the more relaxed we are, the easier it is to access the subtle realm. It's the same as meditation. So if you're going to hard edge yourself in meditation, it's going to be hard to have access to that realm, because it works on a frequency that's very soft. So we spend maybe 10 minutes just grounding and centering. Then I offer a banishment mantra just to make sure that we're working with the highest and greatest light. So it's literally like a paragraph that I read from a mantra sheet that I have, that's just basically sending the signal that we're only working with the energy that serves this person's highest and greatest light. From there, we do an opening mantra, which is stating their name. We're asking permission to go into the records, and we ask that the records be open. So again, it's a short three sentences that I'll repeat out loud. And then I pause and I say what I call, I'm calibrating. I'm seeing if I'm in their records. And how I know that I'm in someone else's records is because the frequency feels different to me than my own frequency does. So when I'm sitting with you right now, I'm by nature grounded and calm. And if I perhaps was to go into your records, your frequency might be more sparkly. It might be more uplifting. It might be more expansive. So these are different ways that I feel into the frequency. And then I know that I'm in their records. And they can start pinging questions at me, and we can start asking those questions to the records and seeing what comes back. But usually I'll spend maybe about 10 minutes just in their field. If they've never hung out with their guides and their teachers before, I'll introduce them a little bit. If there's a little bit of a frequency that wants to just get closer to them, I'll share that with them. And I just give information as to what their soul space feels like, because a lot of people aren't even aware of what their frequency is. And then from there, I start doing an energetic scan, and I'll start with the crown of the head. And as I just place my attention on the crown of their head, information will just start coming in through my own claircognizance.
Amazing. Is that clear? I am sold. I wish we could do a live right here with it, but I think that would probably mess up the frequency. I'll have to do it and talk about it. So
sure.
We should do that together. I love that. I think it's, I mean, I get that because I have similar feelings of energetic connections with people and understanding, things that are not as, quote unquote, logical. You know, I come from a medical background, so I appreciate the science, I appreciate the medicine, but where it's lacking is in the energetic quality like you're talking about. So, and of course, fear and pain, you wrap that in there and that has its own, energy to itself, which that's what I try and work with in really teaching people. I don't want to say they're not in pain, but a lot of it is their interpretation of it and what's been told to them. And so if we can kind of, it's nervous system overload, it's a lot of things that we experience and interpret from what our understanding is, which is stress and fear and pain, but maybe it's not that. It's just your body actually trying to talk to you about something, and we just aren't tuned in the same way. What do you think is the biggest barrier to people, first of all, even wanting to sign up to do something like this with you? Like, I can imagine many people, even if like behind closed doors, they're like a little interested, do you think people are fearful of discovering that reading, that this the book of sorts of themselves?
I think that we're in a very interesting time in human history. I find that I'm busier than I ever have been, and it's because a lot of people are feeling like they're here to be a part of a solution, and they're not quite sure how they're meant to be showing up. And so when they hear that the sessions that I offer gives them information as to what their soul's purpose is in this lifetime, it's actually a relief to a lot of people, because they're looking for a solution to this. Like, I know I'm here for something bigger, but I don't know how to tap into it. So I do find it, at this particular time, this is almost a life raft for a lot of people, is to be able to do an Akashic session and get information as to how they need to be, or how they could be given opportunity to step forward. Keep in mind that everything that comes through in the Akashic records is free will. So you are a very divine and sovereign individual. And just because information is coming through in the records doesn't mean that you necessarily need to respond and act and take on what is being offered to you. You still have the right to choose. And I think the bigger thing for a lot of people is appreciating that they are not either put more in the graces of the universe or step down from the graces of the universe, depending on whether or not they make these these decisions. And this just, there's a lot of our history that just is, has such a patriarchy to it that is just very condemning. Mm. So a lot of people are still weeding through that, I think, in this lifetime, as well as, you know, we're not very far away from the time in human history where anyone who even thought about tapping into these types of intuition and clairabilities would be persecuted and even killed. So this is where I think a lot of people's, or this is in fact where a lot of people's fear comes from. It's not so much a fear in this lifetime of tapping into it, but it's a fear that's carried over from a previous lifetime of when that was not safe and it was not okay. And so for oftentimes with people, we do spend time clearing out on an etheric realm, the fear that they have to just trusting their own intuition and allowing them that to remind themselves that in this lifetime, it is safe to tap into this. And not only is it safe, but you're being encouraged to do so because this is part of the reason why you chose to come back to hang out here. Yeah.
So in this lifetime, in your earlier years, did you have any guidance in this area, or was it the opposite, that you were also seeking something because you did not find it in your, whatever you want to share? It's always interesting when people kind of find the path they're supposed to be doing, and sometimes it's absolutely the opposite of the background from which they came, or they were supported in that path.
I would say it's no more, it's average, I guess is how I would describe it. Although, mm-hmm. I mean, of course we're not all average, but I grew up in the Catholic Church, and anything that was expanding in Catholicism was encouraged. Right. So if I wanted to do the rosary, if I wanted to pray, those sorts of things, great. And when I became in my late teens, when I went away to university, I was curious on taking a course on just like the history of theology. And it's very interesting because my dad at the time strongly encouraged that. And I think I have had the conversation with him, but in his mind, he thought, oh yeah, go out there and explore these different things and you'll come back to the church is I think what he believed. And I went out and I explored and I ended up doing the exact opposite, but we still have great conversations on consciousness and spirituality. And he pulls in from his background and I pull in from mine, and it creates a very loving communication, and I enjoy it very much. But no, I think this is also a misconception, Lara, and I'm glad you're bringing it up, is that a lot of people think that, let's take mediumship, psychics, right? We think that this is a skill set that we're born with or we're not born with. It's not something that's developed inside of us. And what I think drew me to the Akashic Records so much, and I give full credit to my teacher for this, is she really was, had this ability to just not put herself on a pedestal when she was offering this to me. She presented it from this point of view of, anyone who wants to access this can access it. The inner desire to access it is the invitation from consciousness moving you towards it. And all we're doing as teachers is showing the toolkit to help to unfold what is actually already there. So for me, did I have any visions or psychic abilities as a kid? No, I didn't. But I was intuitive in knowing what I wanted and what I didn't want, and wasn't able to explain it as a young kid. But I think that that's innate in most of us. We just slowly get it suppressed over time. And all we're doing is taking off sort of the earth that's been put on top of it and just letting it breathe again and letting it come back out again. But most, any person that's come into a session, we can dial in to a claircognizance that they have had all their life, and it's either been low or high, but it's been there. It's been there.
Yeah, I imagine so. And yeah. I love that explanation. And I think anytime you pick a vocation, because that's what I would say this is a calling. That's what I say I do a vocation, not a job. But that is definitely not in a traditional manner or recognized traditional manner. I'm always curious, you know, I love to hear about people's own kind of home environments and backgrounds, because that is, there is a, you're a little bit of a pioneer to a degree. Like you said, there isn't anything special per se about helping others access what you also have, like all of us have it, but it is special and certainly a little bit of a pioneer to do something that has not yet been recognized at all as a traditional path. So,
Yeah. And I think maybe it's the not, how can I put this? It's the not saying no when the nudges come. I think that's a bit of the difference there too. Mm-hmm. You know, I look at the teachers that I have in my life that have been very profound teachers. And when I sit in their company, there's just such a deep level of gratitude of them taking every single step that they took in their life to get to a point where I can sit with them and learn so much from them. And that's always in the back of my head when I'm doing my own navigating of my own spiritual journey, is this may not make sense right now, but it eventually will lead me to being able to not only resource my own self, but being able to help others resource their self. And I think for me, something that's a frustration, but also a blessing, is that I've had to figure it out every single thing that I've done. Like even as an asana teacher, like the yoga poses did not come naturally for me. I'm not by nature a dancer or flexible. I'm almost 6 foot, you know? And so figuring out how to do intricate poses in yoga took a lot of like puzzle piecing together. And at the time it was frustrating, but then that's what allowed me to be able to teach it later, was because I had to go through all the steps in order to figure it out. I couldn't just say, well, you just do it. You just do it. Yeah. That didn't work for me, right?
From your nose to your toes. Come on.
Yeah. Everyone can do it. Just do it. So the same is true with the Akashic Records, is that honestly, I didn't want it. I live in a small town. It's a very physical town. It's a very type A town. Me teaching yoga is, yeah, that's societally accepted, but going into the deeper spiritual dimensions of this is not something that is really revered in this town. So as this started to come in, there was a part of me that was like, I don't really want to do this. I don't really want to expose myself or let myself be seen in a way that I'm not comfortable handling any comments that might come from that. But I just leaned into like this deep layer of trust of this wouldn't be presented to me if I wasn't meant to share it. And as I leaned into that, to be honest, most of my clientele is global. It's not in town. I have like an international clientele. And I am having the most fun I've had ever in working with people and watching people witness themselves be able to read their own records. It's beautiful. It really is. Yeah, it's fun.
I love that. I have so many questions for you. So let me just ask you this. Does anyone have multiple, like they're multi-talented, multiple
clairabilities?
Clairabilities, yes.
For sure. You. Yeah, there is. So what happens with me is that I will oftentimes get an inner knowing and a sensation in my body at the same time. And if I was doing a session with you and I was to hit on something and start talking about it, the hit comes from my inner knowing, but then the going deeper and tunneling in is from like the back of my spine. I get a lot of goosebumps. I get a lot of shivers and almost it feels like my body's even leaning forward a little bit. And so for me, that's a signal of yes, keep going. Yes, yes, yes. This person needs to know this. They need to understand this. They need to like unpack this a little bit with them. So I get multiple clairs that come in. And then if the person across from me is quite clairvoyant, my clairvoyancy will amplify a little bit, which is interesting too. So depending on the person that's in front of me. But I just did a teacher training with a beautiful young woman who she's basically every single one of her clairs is open. So for her, it's trying to weed through when she's getting the downloads as to which one to pay attention to, because she's getting it from many different angles. But how her soul learns and understands this world is also through the same way. So she sees things and hears and feels things all at once. And that's how she forms her conclusions. And that's how she gets her confidence to make decisions. So even though in this beginner stage of her reading her own records and reading someone else's records, it's a bit confusing because there's so much information coming in. It is very much aligned to how her soul shows up naturally in her regular world. So it makes a lot of sense to her that that's how she needs to read it, is to be in all these clairs ability and all these clairs at once. So when we work together, it's really, I'm coaching her when I'm watching her doing a session to stay with one clair ability for a little while until she can feel it kind of soften and go quiet, and then see if there's another clair ability that's more in sort of like center stage or more lit up, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Yeah. Wow. So just like you with your clients, right? You probably sense and feel, but then there's like an inner knowing that comes in. There's a few things working there.
Well, I'm curious, when you are working, say you have, do you have a certain number of people you feel like you can work with before you would need to, like, not that it would be draining, but does it fuel you, or do you really need to kind of refuel after working with people? Because you're working in an energetic realm, which I can imagine would be tiring at times. Do you have to kind of pace yourself, or is it the opposite? It actually fuels you.
No, it's both. I mean, I'm also a mom of three kids. So I mean,
oh my goodness.
There's a real life going on there.
Say
as well.
No more. Oh my, what?
Yeah. So, my max is probably three sessions a day.
Yeah.
They're 1 hour sessions. So I'll do 1 hour session and I usually get a half hour in between, but my main, I guess, jam, or the main source of what I do in a day for work, is actually working more with programs with people. So I have different spiritual mentorship programs that I do with people. So sometimes it's the Akashic training. My max in there is 10, because I'm actually in 10 records at once. So that's the most that I can handle. And then I have another program that's called Unlocking You, which is for someone, some people come to an Akashic session and they're like, great, I understand what my soul's purpose is. I understand a little bit how to align with it, but they're just tiptoeing into this, and they really need some tools to work with. So I have a program called Unlocking You, which just helps to give them different spiritual tools that they can start to hone in on to help to keep them in the comfort of their soul without feeling like they're overwhelmed, if that makes sense.
Yes, everybody should check out. Heather has a lot of offerings online, including a free 7-day reset, which I thought was a wonderful, wonderful offering. But I think you're just going to get an influx of moms now that we know you're a mom of three, because I have to ask, how do you feel like this has changed your mothering or strengthened it or supported it? I imagine having, like, there's got to be some wonderful way that it's guided you in it that I'm sure other mothers women would appreciate.
Yeah. Just on like a total practical term, when I transitioned from teaching yoga and doing more of the Akashic records, my schedule changed. So I'm in my 40s now, teaching yoga every evening and weekends was just becoming exhausting. And as you know, are you a mother yourself, Lara?
I am. I have two. Yeah.
Yeah. So as they get older, they need more rides in the evening. So that was
How old are your kids?
Well, I got a 15, so she'll be 16, 14, and a 6-year-old. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the spread. Yeah, exactly. The early years are physically tiring, and then they become more independent, but they still have to be driven everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so my husband works out of town too. So when I'm in the evenings, always having to drive places, that just started to become too much of a juggle game for me. So it was a relief to move into doing more private mentorship and doing more of the Akashic sessions, because then I really could create my own schedule and not be at a studio's mercy a little bit for when I was teaching. So that's just logistically why it's better. But what's been fun is, now there is a little bit of, when we do Akashic record session on a child, we don't always do the session with the child present, because kids are so influential at such an early age. So if you tell a kid they're going to be a doctor at 5, then they're going to block out every other option that they have and just focus on being a doctor, right? So when I'm doing, I have done an Akashic session with my eldest daughter. And what was beautiful about that is it really gave me insight as to why she shows up the way she does. And so if you're open to it, in a previous lifetime, our roles were reversed. She was the mother and I was the daughter. So in this lifetime, she pulls that in quite a bit in our mother-daughter role. And even like when my son was tiny, she was 10 when he was born, and she would be telling me how to take care of this baby and what I was doing wrong and I shouldn't be doing this. And I would get so infuriated. But when I did an Akashic session with her, it just gave me so much understanding as to why she's doing what she's doing. She's not intentionally trying to diminish me or convince me that I'm not good at being a mom. It's just her nature based on our relationship in the past. So that's an example of how it softened and just created more space, right?
Oh, I love that. I think that'd be helpful for so many. Well, we could talk on and on, but I think, everyone should look up Heather. Not that you probably don't have all that space for it, but because you have these other offerings, I think some of the group classes, you do online group sessions, you do the one-on-ones. Anything else you want to tell us about that you offer?
No, I do invite people if they just want to get a little bit more of an experience of me, but with no strings attached. The 7-day spiritual reset that you mentioned is a great way to start. So it's on my homepage. You sign up for it, and over 7 days, there's just different insights as to how to move from the periphery of what's distracting you and come more into your center. And each day there's just a different offering of how to do that. And it's very simple. It comes in once a day for 7 days, and then you have those to play with for as long as you want to. And it's just an easy way to experience a little bit more of me without feeling like there's anything attached to it. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. I signed up for it. So I'm looking forward to trying it. Yes, I am. And I just, it was such a pleasure to speak with you. I can tell what you're doing has not only benefited you, but I'm sure it's benefited so many. And so if anybody wants to check out Heather, go. And where else can they find you?
The other place would be Instagram. So my handle there is just Heather_Ivany. So my first name, HEATHER_IVANY.
That'll
Can
be
I ping one question back at you before we close?
Of course. Did you read
How
something?
Because you said that this is what got me curious when you were talking, is you shared that you are medical background, science-based, but you have these intuitive threads within you that are loud enough that they're coming through and you're sharing it with your clients. So what was the point where you decided to trust that and go with it and not just stay with the hard science?
I think, I was raised to be a critical thinker, that there was, which I'm so grateful for. I was really raised by two intellectually and progressive minded and curious parents. And so I was also raised, I'm 52, at a time where I was seen as strong and as intelligent and as worthy and as my potential was exactly the same as my three brothers. So I always say, like, to have those ingredients early on is amazing. So I never had to, and it's like I talk about my yoga practice, I never had to undo something. So in a similar way, I don't think I had to undo. I was always like, I love science. I love the body, but I also recognized how comfortable people are at compartmentalizing things and saying this leads to this and this is the reason. When me and my dad's big quote, he was really into quantum physics. It's like there is so, he was raised in a religious background and then he went away from it. He's like, there's just, you look out and we are just like a speck. There's so much unknown. So he's a doctor. He was a doctor. And so I just was raised with somebody who in two hands held this reverence for medicine, but also healthy. I don't want to say even, it's not skepticism, just acknowledgement that there's so much we don't know intellectually. But so I've always been, and to your point about being strong enough not to say no. I mean, I was carving an unconventional yoga path very early on because you said you struggled with some of the yoga poses. Well, I saw early on, this is not really an accessible practice long-term for many people. And how can we maybe actually teach people about their body and how they should listen to it and how they can breathe and how this can help. And it's not just about going into a pose and checking it off as some kind of going to school, you know, like, here it is, I can do this. So I think I've always just been curious, and I don't want to say rebel, but willing. I've always been willing to believe in anything. Like, I've had my, you know, birth chart read, and I believe all the stuff that's related to that. And, you know, and I just think, who knows, right? Why should we put some kind of attachment to what is fact and what is fiction if it's, you know? So I think I just was, yeah, I think I was just
raised
with that.
That's a great share. I love it.
Yeah. Thank you for asking. I appreciate it. Probably some of the people know this and maybe they don't, but yeah, I think the point is, like, you know, and that's what I was also taught my parents, be the best person you can be. And that is really knowing what really matters. So I think, you know, I wasn't shown anything else like this accolade matters or being this. It was just like, be the best human you can be.
Yeah. Yeah. What a great way to close. Good for you.
Thank you. Well, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Heather. And I really appreciate your time, and I love what you're doing. And look for me. I'm really going to do this reading. I feel called to do it. So everybody stay posted. Maybe I'll do a podcast about it.
Love it. Love it. Look forward to it. Honored to be with you. Beautiful to share some time and space with you. I enjoyed it. Thank you so much for having me as a guest.
Thank you so much. And for all of you listening, as always, I am pulling for you.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said. Done.